Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What is going on, everyone, and welcome back to the channel. I hope you're all doing well. Now, today I've got for you a couple of fantastic revenge stories, starting with this one from the 1800s. That's right, guys, we're going back a couple of hundred years in America to see how John, the absolute legend, dealt with horrible racism at the hands of one business owner. How my ancestor took down a racist businessman. This is an old story that's been told in my family for as long as I can remember. We're talking my grandfather was told it by his grandfather and so on. Note that this story has had close to 200 years to be embellished and twisted, so take everything with a grain of salt rather than just scream fake. Even if only a fourth of the story is true, it's still a great story. This is the story of my ancestor we'll call John, because that's the name I've always been told. John was a black man in America during the time when slavery was dying out. His grandparents having been brought there from Africa along with their children. John eventually was freed through some means. I've heard both that he paid his way out, or the state he was in abolished slavery and he was freed that way. And he found himself fighting in the Civil War because he felt it was the right thing to do. During the war, he became good friends with a man only known as Mitch, who supposedly came from money but had joined against his parents' wishes because he believed in freedom for all. Again, grain of salt. The two of them were in the same regiment and made it through alive, though some relatives say Mitch lost a leg or an arm in the war. Fast forward to the end of the war, and John and his new wife Mary, he'd met during the war, used the money he'd earned to set up a small shop on the East Coast. Most common city mentioned is Boston, in a small neighborhood. The shop became successful, John being a charming man and surprisingly savvy businessman. The neighborhood he'd set it up in quickly grew as the city grew, meaning there were always customers who needed whatever it was he sold. I've heard everything from groceries to workers' tools. They lived happily and had three children together during the time, spending a decade there, when suddenly, presumably accompanied by the roar of thunder and screeches of crows, Mr. Business arrived in town. Mr. Business has apparently been on the wrong side of the war and fought quite hard to keep his slaves, but was also smart enough to sell out other racists when he saw how the tides of the war were rolling, getting by with no losses except his free laborers. This had been the beginning of the end for his once successful plantation farm, as all the workers he could find to replace his slaves had wanted things like pay for their services. Unbelievable, I know. He'd struggled to find loyal workers that didn't charge more than the absolute minimum, and after a series of bad harvests, he'd chosen to pack up, sell his land, and head east to find a new source of income. He arrived and began buying up local businesses that seemed profitable and eventually found out about John's successful store. He was more than happy to discuss a fair price for the store, until he saw the skin color of the owner. 10 years, not enough time to erase a lifetime of institutionalized racism. He began harassing John to sell his rinky-dink store and find a farm to work on. Don't quote me. Offering way below the actual value, and when laughed out of the store, he began trying to sabotage John's business. He got thugs to throw rocks through windows, sabotaged deliveries, and just made a general scene in the store. John soldiered on though, having grown tragically used to fighting against racism. He also had a lot of friends in the community who helped keep the store floating. At the time, John's oldest son, who was about 13 or 14, found himself getting beaten up heading home at night from his job. Again, the details here are blurry, and wound up with a lot of scars that he'd supposedly be stuck with for his entire life. John had had enough, and as luck would have it, had an out, having been contacted by his old friend Mitch. Mitch was starting up a plantation of his own in the Southwest, and needed loyal workers. He'd offered John a foreman position, good pay, and a plot of land to live on with his family. This, dear readers, is when the revenge plan begins. John contacted Mr. Business, offering to sell at 75% of what the shop was actually worth, and maybe because his other businesses hadn't worked out, he took it. However, John supplied the contracts and proper solicitor to make things legal. The contract basically said that after the midnight of the date of signing, the shop and everything inside would transfer ownership to Mr. Business. Little did he know that that day, up until midnight, the shop was having a massive clearance sale, selling everything at discount prices to a grateful neighborhood. When they closed up that night and mailed the keys to Mr. Business, there was little left to sell in the store, if anything. John never found out what happened next, as they left town soon after, and never returned. But personally, I'd like to think that Mr. Business arrived with his workers to an empty store, with no deliveries coming, screaming and crying in the mud as he realised he'd been outsmarted by a lesser species. John and his family moved to work at Mitch's farm for the rest of their lives, John supposedly passing away in his 60s. Thank you for reading. Again, a lot of this is probably embellished, if not straight up a fairy tale, but my family all treat it as a true story, and I felt it was too good of a story to not share here. And there we go, guys, that is the end of that one. As OP even admits, you know, he doesn't really know how much of it is legit, what actually happened back in the day, or how much of it is just hearsay from, you know, people passing that information and telling stories. But I don't really think that really matters, to be honest. The whole point of it is that it's a wonderful story. A black man getting revenge on a slave owner who wants to continue owning slaves is an amazing thing to hear about. And let's be honest, it doesn't really matter if it didn't exactly happen the way it's said in the story. It's still great nonetheless. I want to see this Mr. Business put down in the mud, in a grave, because he's a disgusting human and trying to, you know, take back control of the people that he used to own and all that sort of stuff and moving across the country to make sure he can still own slaves. It's disgusting. What John's done here is great. I think, to be honest, he could have even gone a little bit further and, I don't know, like when he's hearing about his own son getting beaten up, that would stir some very horrible emotions inside, I'll be honest. So I'm surprised, to be fair, that he only went this far, and I wouldn't even have blamed him, to be honest, if he went a step further and got violent, to be fair.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now moving on to our second story. Now this one actually comes from r/nuclearrevenge. So we're kind of stepping up a little bit here. Steal my meds, enjoy divorce, jail, joblessness, and sleeping in your car. 16 years ago, I made a friend one day on the bus. Up until about a year ago, I considered this guy a member of my family. Let's call this guy Joel. So, I keep a crystal bowl on the mantle above my fireplace, full of my medical marijuana. I started noticing that after poker night, my bowl seemed a lot emptier than it should, so I set up a camera to see which one of my guests was helping themselves when my back was turned. Next poker night, once everyone was gone, I pull up the video. There Joel was, plain as day, stuffing like $60 worth of medication into his pocket. I sent him the video and told him he had to return my medication, or pay for it, and I told him that if he chose to do neither, he should no longer consider me a friend. He denied it. Even with the video staring him in the face, he said he hadn't taken anything. He even had the nerve to act offended by the fact that I accused him. So I decided to ruin his life. Over the years, he's told me a lot of things he didn't want his wife to know. Affairs, shady stuff he did with their joint funds, drug issues, terrible things he said about her, her mother, and her sister. I went back through all of our messages and took screenshots of everything secret he'd ever said to me. There were over 70 pictures. And, well, I sent his wife the screenshots. Here are some examples of the kind of stuff that was in those screenshots. He admitted to cheating on her with 8 different women over the course of our friendship, taking money they were saving for a car and using it to buy drugs, specifically Xanax and Percs. The fact that he was continuing to do drugs after he promised her he was clean and sober. Here are some of the things he said about her and her family. She's a vile, disgusting woman. And the reason they never have sex is that he can't stand the smell in between her folds. He also said he was pretty sure she was molesting her niece. He said that all of her friends only pretend to like her so they can buy oxys off her. Also, as I'm editing this, I just remembered that he said he wanted to get one of his side chicks pregnant,
because he'd always resented his wife for being infertile. Here are some things he said about her sister. Her sister is an insane harpy. Her sister abuses her kids. This is not true, by the way, he just said it. Her sister is faking her autoimmune disease for attention. And now about his wife's mum. Her mum is a fat, lazy cow who doesn't actually need to be in a wheelchair. She just likes not having to stand up or bathe herself, so she's malingering. There were more things, but that's what came to mind without me having to dig through the screenshots I sent. His wife obviously filed for divorce and reported him to the police for the drugs he had in their house. While he was doing his 8 months in jail for the pot that he stole from me, his boss filled his position and he lost his job. His now ex-wife won't let him in the house. Now he lives in a car and showers at truck stops. I found out about the aftermath in parts. Some came from his ex-wife. She told me about the divorce, kicking him out, and getting him arrested. Some came from a guy Joel and I used to both be friends with, who works at the place Joel used to work at. He told me about the job loss, car living, and the truck stop thing. I'm actually still on good terms with his ex-wife. I even sent her some enchiladas the other day for Cinco de Mayo. I also sent the video to all of our mutual friends, so he lost 90% of his social circle. I cut that other 10% out of my own life since they want to associate with known thieves. Birds of a feather, I guess. I mean, to be completely honest, mate, I don't already know why you were friends with this guy in the first place, because think of all the bad things he's done. All the stuff that he's texted to you, the fact that, you know, he just seems like a horrible person in general. He openly admits to cheating on his wife, doing drugs, like, abuses his wife and all her family, and you know what, probably just talks a load of rubbish about loads of people behind their backs. Why were you mates with this guy in the first place? I don't personally get it from reading this story, but maybe he had some other redeeming features that weren't included. I kind of doubt it. I guess my overall point is that you can't really be too surprised, OP, that this guy did steal from you and didn't even admit to stealing when his face was on the camera of him stealing because of all this other stuff that you know about, which just shows him to be a bad person. Clearly, this guy is a terrible person. I don't really think you should have been friends with him in the first place. And yes, obviously now the revenge is perfect, but a weird one even in the first place, in my opinion. Anyway, guys, that is going to do it for this one. I really hope you have enjoyed these two revenge stories. If you want two more revenge stories that are, let's be honest, a little bit darker than these two, they're quite serious. Check them out on screen right here. Both of them are probably two of my most serious, but also most favorite videos on revenge stories that I've made in the past year or so. So yeah, go and check them out. If you are new around here, please do hit this button and subscribe. And I will see you all tomorrow with a brand new episode right here on my channel.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.